Welcome to the Journey Church Message Replay. If you were not able to be with us live when this message was delivered, or you just want to take a deeper dive into God's Word, this is where you can find the latest message delivered here at Journey. Be sure to click the subscribe button on the podcast service you are listening to or the video channel you are watching right now. That way you won't miss anything because you will be notified every time a new message is uploaded. Our goal here at Journey is to help you discover your real life purpose in Jesus so that you can make a difference in your world. This message you're about to hear is going to both encourage and challenge you to do just that. If you like what you hear, then go ahead and hit that like and share buttons below and leave us a comment as well. There are more ways to contact us down in the notes section. If you want to know more about us, then you just have to search Journey Church Eva online and on social media. Now, get ready and let God speak to you through this message today.
All right, let's pray and jump into it. Father, we want to thank you for what we've already been in an atmosphere of worship, baptism, lives being changed, taking their next steps, Lord. And now we want to come to your word and have it speak to our lives today, God, that we don't walk out of here the same. No matter how many years we've been saved or what all we've done ourselves for your glory, God, that we not walk out of your presence ever the same. And we never take it for granted, God. May we never have a familiar spirit with you and your word and your worship and the things of God. And may excitement always stay in us, to us, and through us, God. Everybody say, for the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 All right. How many got it? All right. Raise it up real quickly. If you don't have one, you should have been given a pencil of all things when you walked in here. Now, again, it's a... This means something today, okay? So don't lose it. Just hang on to it. How many know these are pretty nice pencils, amen? Yeah. Got a brand new eraser. I used to love to get a new pencil. That means I can make mistakes and erase them, okay? But they got a nice coating on them. They're good, and they're ready. They are ready. This pencil came ready to do what it's supposed to do in the first stage. But as of right now, in the condition your pencil's in, unless you're like we did in school, we used to carry knives to school. Yeah, I am that old. We carried knives. I had a pocket knife, and then I carried a bigger knife on my hip in school all through my high school years. And when we needed to sharpen a pencil, we didn't use this regular sharpener most of the time. We would take our knife out and sharpen our own pencils at our desk. America. That's when America was great. Okay? Amen. Some of y'all, yeah. Some of y'all are like, oh my gosh. You mean y'all didn't stab or kill people? No, it wasn't in our heart. It's never been about a tool. It's always about the heart. Amen. Oh, don't get me started, y'all. But right now, in its current condition, although the potential is right there in your hand, it can't reach its potential yet. This can't do anything it was intended to do yet. It has everything it needs, but it cannot reach its potential until some things begin to happen to it. How many know we're just like that? Amen? Somebody, neighbor, say the potential's in you. So put up the first slide, I guess. And just like this pencil, you've got a purpose and you've got some potential in you. So that's why I want you to have your pencil with you today, because you and the pencil, me and this pencil are identical. We've been made with everything God wants us to have in us to produce what God put in us. But just like this pencil, although it has everything it needs, it's still not ready to do what it's designed to do. And to fulfill its purpose, it has to go through a process. But the potential's there. The purpose is there. This was designed and made by someone in a factory to write, to draw, to sketch, but to be used. How many know this pencil will be worthless in this condition? It's worthless. It looks good, but it's worthless. Mm-mm. But you turn to your neighbor and say, you got a purpose. And if you've got a purpose, and we know everybody here has a purpose, so if you've got a purpose, there's potential in you. So you got a purpose, and the potential is in you for that purpose. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. We all know this scripture. It's a very familiar one. The Lord declares, I know the plans that I, talking about God, In other words, God says, I got a plan for you. Now, here's the plan of God. He says, says the Lord, they are plans for, everybody say, good. They're plans for good and not for disaster. Stop right there. Many of us will say, it feels like I've been taken and broken. Disaster has come. But can I tell you that wasn't God's plan? That was the plan of an enemy. Because the plans of God are good all the time. And all the time they are good. Hallelujah. Let's read on. For the plans are good and not for disaster. Now watch this. To give you a past and a hope. You better pay attention today. But how many of us live out of our past? He didn't say, I want to give you a past. He said, I want to overcome your past where I can give you a future. Do you know this pencil has a past and it'll stay in its past until something changed? It had a past. It had an origin of creation and putting it together and charging out the wood and inserting the lead and wrapping it and coating it with the coating and then wrapping that little metal piece around to hold the eraser and it being inserted, and then it had to be staked where it could hold on. So it had an origin, but it was equipped with everything it needs. But as long as it stays in its past, it'll never reach its full potential. It'll never fulfill its purpose. And again, we are pencil us. Same thing today. Can I have a better amen?
Amen?
Amen? This was designed to leave a mark in life. This was designed to write something out, to create something, either for you or someone else. Say a better amen there.
Amen.
Now, the purpose is not for you just to exist. That's not why they created this pencil just to sit on a shelf or to sit in someone's desk. They created it to do its purpose. And so just existing is not the purpose of this pencil today. And the fact that you're alive and existing on planet Earth is not the purpose you have. You've got a purpose in the kingdom of God. You've got a purpose as your role as a man or a woman. Nothing else. Nothing else. And you got it right the first time. So in other words, what am I saying about this pencil? This pencil's worthless until it needs to be used. Your purpose has to be used for a purpose. Your potential has to be used to fulfill the purpose. As long as it stays encased in there, and it's in there, you can look at the end of it and see it. It's in there. Do like this right here and say, it's in there. It's in there. It's always been in there. And we're going to talk about why it's in there and how it comes out. Amen? Now, amen? But you've got to be willing. In this case, this pencil can be used to write songs. It can be used to write words of encouragement. It can be used to write the scriptures down. It can be used to write some very mean stuff and nasty stuff too. And so your purpose is not on the to be used to put in the devil's hand for him to write your story, but you got to be willing for the pencil to be put in God's hand where he can write your story. And you got to be willing to give your life into God's hand where he can guide your purpose and write your purpose and your potential out as it goes forward. Touch your neighbor and say, get you some of that. So go ahead and put up the next note. Just like a pencil must go through, everybody say, the sharpening process. Woo! There we go. To release its full potential, we must also go through the sharpening process. None of you probably, I think most of you are bright enough in here not to try to make this thing right in its current condition. I'm gonna just take a chance there and say most of us in here probably would not try to sit down and take notes today, which, by the way, you ought to be taking notes. So that's why I got you a pencil, but you said it don't write. Okay, but anyway. You and I like this. All the potential in the world is there, but it's got to go through a sharpening process. And how many know the sharpening process is not the fun part? It is not. Go ahead and put up the next note. The sharpening process hurts. Now, this pencil doesn't have feelings. Make sure we know that in here. But we do. And when this wood... And these are woods. I didn't get the plastic ones, okay? I never really liked them plastic ones. This wood don't feel nothing, but we do. And the sharpening process is where a lot of people cannot take it. They'd rather stay like this than to be sharpened and go through life making a difference and fulfilling the potential. And today I'm afraid we've got so many Christians floating around like this instead of like this. No point to their life. And this, what's the difference between these two pencils? This one is releasing its potential now that it's been sharpened. This one is ready. This one can be put into anyone's hand and be used now. This one can't. They started identical. I got them out of the box together, the same one that came out of your box. But the only difference is this morning I went up to one and I stuck it in a grinder and it went. And I pulled it out and I got this. Now it has a point. Now it can release its maximum potential. And now it can do what it's designed and its potential that's always been in it can be released now. And guys, let me tell you something. About some of us went up to Be the Man conference right up down the road here at Eva Thursday night. Great conference. Great, a great time. Love Michael and Don Mason and the ministry team they have put together there. But one of the things he said is, he said, whoever told you being a Christian was going to be easy lied to you. Amen. They lied if they said, oh, get saved and your life will never have another problem. Now, for all those that's been saved more than 5 minutes, raise your hand and say, that's a lie. That's a lie. That's a lie. But what makes it worth it is that Jesus is going to write my story through the sharpening time. Yes. And I understand that some things need to fall off where some things can come forward. Yes. Oh, can I have a better amen there? Amen. Amen. But turn to your neighbor and say, it does hurt sometimes. Yes. But now I'm going to preach you a side of this you never hear. Sometimes, everybody say sometimes, God keeps us in the unsharpened stage for a season. These did not come off the assembly line and go straight to the sharpener because they need to be shipped and they didn't want to be broken during shipping. You don't want to get broken on the way to your assignment. So for some of these, they wait till they get there. Then for the intended purpose, when they're ready, when they're ready to be used, someone gets them out of a box, and then the process of the hurt starts. Some of you may be sitting here today, and you're not sharpened yet. And there may be a reason. And I'm touching every say, it's a good reason. Because an unsharpened pencil can protect everything that's still in it. How many know in this little fine point here, if I mash too hard, what happens? It breaks off, and then I have to go back to the sharpening process. And guys, can I tell you that's a part of your walk with God? There are going to be some things you think you're ready for, and you sharpen yourself up, but you're not ready yet. And you try to get out there and do these things, and then when you get broke, you want to blame everybody else. Read the room. Stay in your lane until God opens up the next doorway. Amen? Don't try to force God into something that he's not ready for your life. But at the same time, don't sit in a drawer knowing you can be used. You just don't want to go through the sharpening process. Phew, thank you, Jesus, for that one. I received on that one, too. But sometimes people feel stuck. Man, I'm just stuck here. It doesn't seem like I'm getting anywhere. God is safeguarding you. He's safeguarding your potential until it's the right season. But don't use that. Let me tell you something. If you're a 20-year-old pencil, you're ready. Now, this process sometimes may take 6 months, it may take 6 years, it may take, but you can't stay in the drawer forever. If you're ever going to be used, you got to go through the sharpening process. Listen to me, you don't get to skip it. This pencil will never produce nothing if it never goes into the sharpening. It can't skip that process and go straight to the platform. Straight to the prayer team. Straight to the kingdom lifestyle. It's got to go through some sharpening. And now let's get honest again. Most of us don't like the sharpenings. But God's got you safe in the covering sometimes. Let me give you a scripture for that. Psalm chapter 32, verse 7 says this. For you, O Lord, you are my hiding place. You protect me from trouble. You surround me with strong the songs of victory. So there's a season when you need to just be sitting there and getting ready. But how many know we got too many mothball Christians that's been getting ready all their life? They're fixing to start reading their Bible. They're fixing to start being faithful. They're fixing to sign up to serve. They're fixing to start giving of themselves and everything else they have. They're fixing to go to the next level. They're fixing to start, always fixing to do something, but I ain't hit the sharpener yet. See, we want the results of this, but not the process it takes to get here. Touch your neighbor and say, are you going to be okay? One said, I hope so. I heard that. So what does sharpening involve? Cutting. Cutting. Everybody say cutting. Scraping. Taking away what used to be there. Most churches are right there. Lord, we want to be used, but don't change a thing. We don't want to go through the sharpening. Individuals don't like to go through the sharpening. Families don't like to go through the sharpening. Churches and ministries don't like to go through the sharpening. We like it just like we like it. But I mean, no, this pencil won't do nothing until it goes through the sharpening. Your life will not produce till it goes through some sharpening. Don't despise the sharpening. Don't despise the cutting, the grinding away, the chafing away of what surrounds the potential. Are you with me this morning? Come on, somebody. Touch your neighbor and say, I hope you're getting this. In other words, with what the sharpening does, it gets rid of what you are used to. What you're comfortable with. That's the very thing God wants to sharpen away from you. You would be amazed at how many changes I've had to make over the course of my marriage and in my ministry. Amen? Look, there was a time when there used to be this little square thing you set on a table that had a gooseneck and looked like one big eyeball on the top of it. And they used to have these screens on the wall. Now, we couldn't afford screens, so we bought the dry erase board and just framed it out and made it look like a screen. So we were looking good. And then you would take on a copier and you would print off the song lyrics on one sheet, all the lyrics, the verses and choruses. And then, and you would print them on clear sheet called transparencies. And then you had to have somebody sitting at the transparency and they would move the words as they sung them. Or they'd take a sheet of paper and pull down. And you'd see their fingers get in there and get twisted and you'd be trying to follow it. And if you had more than one screen, you had to have two volunteers, and that was tough to do back in the day. And boy, we thought, man, look at us. We've arrived, man. We are high-tech redneck up in here. And then you had to shift, and projectors came out. And then I had to shift from wearing a suit and tie every Sunday and Sunday night when we had Sunday night services. It was standard suit and tie. I was brought up with that. I didn't mind it, but I'm like, I don't have to wear a tie. Well, I don't know if I can still go to heaven. I'm not sure if I'm going to get into heaven if I drop a tie. So strategically, I began to drop the tie on Sunday night. I did. I dropped the tie on Sunday night. And I'll be honest, listen to me, I'm sharing my heart. I felt weird being up there not preaching in a tie. I almost felt like, I don't know if this is godly. I mean, I know the Bible doesn't say anywhere, thou rise up, tie thy tie, go to church. I've never said, but again, it was what I was encased in as a child. And so that tradition that I grew up in had to be sharpened away. And all y'all saying, well, don't you glad? I'm glad I'm here now. But I wasn't glad about it back then, and I still did it with a decent heart, but just like, it felt weird. How many of y'all grew up like that? And ladies, you had to wear a skirt, or not a skirt, a dress, below the knee and to the chin. And then all of a sudden, ladies could wear pants in church. You're all going to hell. And the men without ties, you're going to lead them there. Now notice all the older people are laughing. The younger people are going, are you serious? Yes. It had to be sharpened out of me. And then, lo and behold, one day, Sunday night service is not mandatory. Yes, it is. Now, I know the clothes and some of that may change and projection and all that, but Lord, Sunday night, it's got to be in the Word somewhere. And if we cancel Sunday night, we're going to go to hell. I just know we are. That's the way we always done it. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And we were wearing our people out because most of the time we wouldn't even get to go home on Sunday. We wouldn't. We didn't get home till Sunday night after service, after meetings, and after that. So 10:30, 11 o'clock most Sunday nights. And I had a few people come, Pastor, and they were my favorite service. Sunday morning was bigger, but Sunday night was better. Because the fanatics came back on Sunday night. So when we get an atmosphere, when the fanatics show up on Sunday morning, we'll start having those Sunday night services on Sunday morning. And we're about there. Thank you, Jesus. And so I had several people asking me, can we please do this? I'm tired. I want to see my family. I've got to go to work the next day. And I was reluctant because I had to get in the grinder and have that ground out of me. And then we finally did it, and I'm like, ooh, I can write better now. I can serve more of my purpose in a different manner now. We can have life groups on Sunday evenings now that meet and get to the meat of stuff. But do you know, again, none of this, there had to be a grinding of my mindset. Not my salvation, I was saved. But I had to grind away to reach my maximum potential. Thank you, Jesus, amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's not comfortable. But turn to your second neighbor and say, but it is necessary. That's the key. It's necessary. Unless you want to stay like this. There are a lot of pastors. There are a lot of marriages. There's a lot of churches that stay like this. And it leads to this right here. Because we're too afraid to go to the next level. We're too afraid to take the next step. How does God sharpen us as individuals, not the pencil? Through our trials and temptations.
That's right.
Through correction. Boy, that's a fun one, ain't it? That's a grinder. I said it hurts. I didn't say it was pleasant. But if you want to get to the maximum potential, you go through the grinding. Go through the process of the sharpening. If you ever want to grow. And I want to use this word right here. Because it's such powerful. This one in this state is all the potential's there. It can do, but it has to go through the process. And this process is what we call this. This pencil has went through transformation. Amen. Be you transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. I had to change my mind about how to do ministry. I had to change my mind about how to study. Listen, I preached probably my first 10 years and would not do a series preaching. I thought it was of the devil. I thought series were for lazy pastors that couldn't get a fresh word every week. I'm just telling you, I did. That's what I thought. And I had other pastors teach me and show me how to do it, or I wouldn't listen. They'd try to tell me, and I'd just blow it off. That ain't a God. I mean, I'm not saying it's not a God, but it's not like God stuff. Until I got to preaching an hour and a half to 2 hours, and I realized, these people ain't going to sit like that forever. And so I tried a two-part series, and it worked. People were excited. And then I did a three-part and felt that was the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. That's good. And now I do some series. But before that, I was right here. There wasn't going to be a series produced. But I had to go through the sharpening. And there are people that don't like the sharpening, but when you come out, you got a point. So let me ask you this. Have you been transformed lately? Both of them saved. One is stuck. One's willing to go to the next level. Have you been through transformation? It's necessary. Touch your neighbor and say it's necessary. Now, the sharpest pencils are the one who's been through the most. You may say it again, okay. The sharpest pencils are the one that's been through the most sharpening. Can I have a better amen?
Amen.
Let me show you something. Everybody say, sharpen me, Lord.
James
chapter 1, verse 2 through 4. I want to read this out of the Passion Translation. I love the way it reads. It says, my fellow believers, so who are we talking to here, church? Everybody say believers.
Believers.
It says, when it seems as though you're facing nothing but difficulties. Anybody ever been there?
Yes.
Can I get a better witness from the people who are trying to lie?
Yes.
Nothing but difficulties. The Bible says, see it as an invaluable opportunity to experience the greater joy that you can. When you're in the grinder, know that something's coming to a point in your life. Something's being chipped away that you no longer need. Count it all joy when you face various trials. But boy, this don't understand it. This all sees is, well, it's going to hurt. It's not going to be the same. It's going to be different. I don't know if I can handle it. I don't know if my marriage, I don't know. And this just flat lines or falls down. Amen? Let's go in and read verse 3. For you know that whenever your faith is tested, in other words, in the grinder, it stirs up what? It stirs up power within you. You endure all things. You got to stir up to get to the power of the lead. But once the lead is reached, now the potential can be released. Now it can do what it's designed to do. Now it can write. Now it can make the mark. Now it can leave a legacy. Verse 4. And then as your endurance grows, even stronger, it will be released. It will release, watch this, perfection into every part of your being until there's nothing missing and nothing lacking. See, we want to get to the part where there's perfection, nothing missing, nothing lacking, but we don't want to go through the grinder to get there. Because it's uncomfortable. It's not the way we've always done it. She's not treating me the way she used to treat me when we dated. Well, he's being a jerk, and he was nice before we got married. We don't want to go through the grinder to get to transformation, to where our lives, our marriage, everything, our church can make the biggest difference God intended it to make. Everybody say the shavings. Shavings. Now, when you put it in the grinder, there's what we call shavings. Everybody say shavings. It's the little wood pieces that it chips and cuts and scrapes away to get to what it's designed to have. And that's the lead in this case. In mine and yours, it's our purpose and our potential be released for the kingdom of God. So go ahead and put up something about the shavings. I want to make sure you understand the shavings' role in this. The shavings are designed to be cut away and fall to the ground. Now, I know some of this has been fairly decent, but I want you to want you to lean in and pay close attention. The shavings are no longer needed. You don't go back and get the shavings and try to pack them back around the pencil if you want to reach your potential. In other words, this is part of your being now that is no longer needed for you. Oh, I'll touch it, Amber says, it's about to get good. There are times when you walk with God, in your walk with God, in your walk in your marriage, in your walk with your friends, in your walk with your job, every part of your life, every part, God's going to remove some things from where you're currently comfortable. Let me give you a small list here. I think one of the biggest barriers to reaching our potential is men and women of God, kingdom people, church of the living God, marriage of the living God, raising kids of the living God, staying in sins that keep circling back around in our lives. I believe there's an encasing of pride around us. And until pride is shaped off, where you now want to see others do better than you, then you're walking in pride. I have never set this church up to be dependent upon me. Every decision, major decision I make is for the next person that's going to come in here. I've been doing it ever since I've been here. That's why you will never see me decorate with modern day colors. Because I don't want the next pastor to come in here and go, oh my gosh. Like I did. I walked into hunter green and burgundy and pink walls. And yet I'm supposed to try to attract men to the God. I do. Every decision I make right now is not based on what's going to be good for me. What's going to be good for the next generation that comes up where they can take it and do more and run further. How can I promote them? Are y'all okay? Sometimes he's got to get rid of bad habits. And sometimes it can be sin habits, but it can be just bad habits that's not sinful. Right. Like thinking I had to wear a suit and tie Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Thinking that you had to do mandatory or you're going to go to hell if you get rid of Sunday nights. Sometimes you just got to get rid of bad habits that no longer is effective in people's lives. Y'all okay? Here's a big one. Sometimes to go from here to here, you got to get rid of some relationships. someone's speaking negative into your life, you need to say, I need to sharpen that out of my life. Now, you don't get out of your marriage just because you got upset. Pastor told me I'd sharpen you right out of my life. Nay. That's why I need you to come back next week, because we're going to have two pencils together next week. And they're going to write the same story, not different ones. Don't miss next week. If you guys can't be here, you better be online interacting with. Don't miss next week. So relationships sometimes need to be shaved off. I had relationships in my life that encouraged me in that season. And one of the biggest transitions is, this is why, listen to me now. This is why so many people fall out of God when they get out of high school. Because you've been around certain people for 12 years and you don't know how to function now outside their friendships. And now you're going to college and you want to fit in there, and you're around now, you're a little fish in a big pond. And so you're willing to do even compromise your walk with God to make sure you fit in with a bunch of people going to hell. Are y'all okay? And so there are relationships you will have for a season. I've had good ones and bad ones. And then something happened and I moved, or you swap jobs, or you go into a different area, or you move. And it's like, oh no, I'm going to fall. No, that's God sharpening you. Because when you get to the point where you rely on them more than you rely on God, then you're in trouble. Because God wants to be first. Seek first the kingdom. And then I'm going to go over this last one real quick. If you're ever going to be used for God's purpose, he has to grind away selfishness. He has to grind away self-agenda. Selfishness and self-agenda. And I tell people, there are two things that all married couples argue over. And we're not going to call them out today, because all you married people know that. But I say, here's the one root problem of all marriage problems, is selfishness. It's the root problem of marriage. It's the root problem of church. It's the root problem of everything. It's selfishness. Me, me, me. Narcissistic me. Whew, man, this should have been a two-part before I went to the next week. Anyway. But why is this ground away? And it hurts to maybe not have those people in your life. It hurts when you got to swap and move to a different area. It hurts when there's a fresh anointing on your life, but you're used to your old anointing. Why does that sharpening hurt? Because it's trying to get to what now can make a difference and be used. Are you with me? So put up this note. This is probably the most powerful note of all service. Go ahead and put it up. Don't mourn what God removes. Celebrate what he's making you into. Celebrate. That's why baptism's so important. Do you know what that is? That's being that's the grinder right there, baby. And we celebrate that they're coming up new. Amen? So there's even a scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's what? He's a new creation. Behold, all things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's the process. That's the grinding process. That's your sharpening process. You're supposed to have things fall off. You're supposed to be different now. You're supposed to be usable for the kingdom of God now. And if you went through that sharpening process, you need to do it. Don't despise it. Look forward to it and celebrate it. I'm in my next season of life, God. It may be scary. I don't know what it's going to look like. I've never done it this way before. But God, I trust you, Lord. I trust what you're pouring into me. I trust the sharpening process. Pleasant? No. Necessary? Yes. Now let me kind of close with this. Go ahead and put up the next note, please. The pencil must be led by the master's hand and not yours. Too many of us want to do our own sharpening, and we just want to take away what we think needs to be taken away, which is about that much. I'm willing to give up that much, Lord, but I don't want to go through the whole sharpening process. Well, that's not God's sharpening. That's you pretending you're God. And then when we get just, if we can get just enough, maybe to where we got a little bit of lead sticking out, I can write a few things, but I can't write what God wants me to write, because I'm not going to put it in God's hands. I want to write my own story. I want to write down what I'm going to do. I want to write down the process I think my life needs to follow. I want to write down who comes in my life, who doesn't, what I'll accept, what I won't. I want to write it. My friend, listen to me now. It's already been written for you. But your story either is going to line up with this or it's going to be your own story. And if you don't put your life in God's hand, you are not going to write in conjunction with the Word of God. He's going to let you hold the pen and the pencil, but he has to be the one leading it, guiding it, spilling it into you. Does that make sense? This pencil, I mean, this is a sharp one. I'm going to lay it right there. Can y'all see that? Some of you can, maybe, hopefully. Do you know, everybody say that pencil. That pencil cannot do nothing in that state. It can't write by itself. You got to let somebody pick it up to use it. And for too long, we've allowed the hand of the enemy, the hand of the best friend that's not fully there, the hand of the opinion of others, the hand of social media, pick our pencil up and try to write our story and our tomorrows. And what you need to do is you need to lay that thing down again, put it back in the grinder, get a fresh point, and say, God, do not even attempt to write nothing until your hand picks it up. That's the only person I won't write in my story is the God of the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Again, guys, the analogy of the pencil and us, it's, we're the same. It's God's hand. It's God's writing. And we get to write. When it's in God's hands, you get to write the story of grace. You get to write the stories of mercy. You get to write the stories of redemption. You get to write the stories of healing. You get to write the stories of overcoming. You know how I know most Christians aren't here? Go read their post on Facebook and X. All about how the devil's tearing them up. No redemption, no grace, no mercy. Blasting somebody, complaining, whining. Guys, that's not God's writing. That's not the hand of God on your life. The hand of God writes stories that line up with this, and this is nothing but power and grace and anointings and healings and deliverance and victory after victory and triumph after triumph. Yeah, the things happened, but God. Well, this guy happened, but God. Well, this come along, but God. I didn't like this, but God. You won't be a victim, you'll be a victor. Amen. It's about time you get to that place. Say amen to that. Go ahead and put up the last note for today. The value of the pencil isn't the pencil itself, but it's the one who holds it. This pencil might could write one of the greatest writings on planet Earth that would help change the world. It might write a number one song. It could write a best-selling book. It could write something that may save someone's life, may save someone's marriage. And it also has the potential to write stuff that will destroy people and lead them astray. So in and of itself, the pencil is useless without a good hand on it. My life and your life, we are useless until the hand of God gets on us. And the sharpening is part of what we got to go through. It's just part of life. I wish it wasn't, but it is. I told you, I'm going to preach real to you. But I want to guarantee you, I promise you today, God has placed something in you of his value to be released into this earth, or you would not have been born. Because he's never made nothing that he couldn't use. But you have to be willing to go to the pencil sharpener and go through the grinding. Can I get a better amen? Amen? There's dreams. There's gifts. There's callings, there's divine purpose waiting inside of every one of these, but you got to go through the process. And the process is good. It's for your benefit. Can I have an amen? Stand to your feet this morning. You may be here this morning, and maybe you're in the sharpening process right now. Everybody say, right now. Look at me. It hurts. It does. It's at least mental pain, physical pain sometimes, spiritual pain. And you're in the process, but don't come out of it. Don't come out of it until you're sharp and you're ready to be used. And when you get with God, the sharpening isn't that long. Can I tell you again? The sharpening process isn't that long with God with a willing pencil. Amen? So whatever shape you're in today, I want you to know God's preparing you for something. Whatever you're going through, if you're going through something right now, God's preparing you. Look at it that way. What are you preparing me now for? What are you sharpening me for the next season, God? Where am I going to be at in 6 months in this process? Not deeper in trouble, but showing me the way out, God. Showing me the way to the next level of your glory, the next level of my faith, God. And Lord, write my story. Touch your neighbor and say, write my story. Don't resist. Trust. How many of you know we got a very good coach in Alabama at one time? Called Nick Saban. And he had a quote, one of his most famous quotes, trust the process. Was it painful? Yes. Would it cause you to have to change some things? Yes. We're not good enough to get to heaven on our own. Something's got to change. And it ain't God. He don't have to change a thing. He's good. He's perfect. It's us. It's us that needs to be sharpened to get to the point. Here's the thing. Once you're sharpened, everybody say, once I'm sharpened, you'll write a story that only God can write with you. And it'll be your story. It'll be your story he can write. Now, real quickly today, I want to bring out a third pencil. We have the one that's ready, all the potential in the world, but it'll never do nothing because it won't go through the process. It's not been put through the grinding process. Then we have another one. It's been through the grinding process one time. One time. But after you come out of the grinding process, maybe for your first time ever, you're going to feel like you can write forever. Oh, God's hands on me. God's hands on me. But if you write long enough, this is going to become dull and dull, and it's going to wear down. And again, most of us right out of the gate, we put too much pressure, and there goes that. Now, it's still, now, from a distance, it still looks pretty sharp, but the potential's no longer there. You cannot live on yesterday's anointing. You cannot live on yesterday's goosebump. You can't live on yesterday's spine tingling with the presence of God. Those were good for then. So when it gets in this condition, what has to happen? Back into the sharpener, back into the grinding, back into the cutting away. And then sooner or later, if you come out of there good, you're going to rise some more, and it's either going to get dull down to the wood again, or it's going to break off again. Now these people are on a journey. Hang out with them some and encourage them. Here's the people you want to really hang out with. They've been through the process, and it's not just once. They've been through, this one's been through multiple sharpenings, and it's still got a few in it left. I got more years behind me than I do ahead of me on planet Earth. But I want to go all the way to the metal part. I want to go all the way to the metal part. I do not want to be this when I go home. I don't want to get to heaven like this. All the potential, all the anointing, all this that could have been done, but I never would go through the sharpening to get it. I want to go to heaven at least like this. And again, preferably the eraser, having a little few marks on the eraser. Nothing left. Nothing left in me. Nothing. And again, and you know what else I want to do? I want to get there and look like this, but I want to begin to have some with a little bit longer, a little bit, and I want to have a whole host of pencils behind me, around me, beside me. That because I wasn't afraid to go through the sharpening, I wasn't afraid to make the changes, I wasn't afraid to go to the next level, that I got to bring some people along with me and help them sharpen up. Not about me, but to say, Lord, they were my purpose. These are the shavings that have been around my life, and you need to pour them out. Yeah. You're in one of these positions this morning, every single one of us in here. This message does not let anybody escape. This is one of those that'll hit everybody. Now, let me tell you real quickly, God can only deal with real. You want to lie to yourself? You want to lie to the Holy Spirit? You can do that. But you know you're lying, and the Holy Spirit knows you're lying. But today it's about to get real in here. Because, guys, listen, eternity matters. And why eternity matters is based on how we live down here. So am I producing something that's leading to this? Or am I in the process here? Or am I lost? I'm born, I got everything in me, but I won't go through the sharpening to get saved. I won't admit today that I can't pay for my own sins. I believe I can be good enough to get to heaven. I'll just sharpen myself. My friend, you'll never get that sharp. So bow your heads. Father, we want to thank you this morning. I feel your presence, God. And Lord, a pencil to be used today of all things. Buying in bulk, that pencil was about a penny, I think, or 2 cents. But Lord, it can bring the price of eternity to us if we'll allow it. And for those that are here, you're born. You've been born. You've been created in God's image this morning. But you've said no because you're looking at God through religious eyes or hurtful eyes or a past or something. And God says, I'm here to take you and grind that off of you. I want to get you out of your past identity. I want to get you to who I'm making you be. But you got to let me put you through it. You got to surrender and realize that you cannot save yourself today. But my son has already paid for you to be saved. He's already paid for your sins to be washed away from you. And the only price I'm asking you to do today is just surrender to Jesus. Accept him, accept me as your father, he says. Because I'll love you like nobody else has ever loved you. And if you'll just stay with me and we'll stay sharp together, I'll write your story right into the eternal, into the book of life. And I'll record your name. And I'll take the rest of your life if you will stay sharp. And I'll write stories of redemption and grace and mercy and overcoming and anointing and salvation to others. And I'll write a legacy story for you. But if you won't let me in, you'll never have nothing written. Your name cannot be written in the Lamb's Book of Life without something that I can write with. And you'll hear the words, depart, I never knew you. So if you're here this morning and you've never accepted Jesus Christ, we're not asking you to join church today. We're not even worried about that. And you won't become a certain religion or nothing. You'll just say, I'm going to be sharpened and ready to use now. I'm going to start my first sharpening here by surrendering my life to Christ and let him cut away my old sinful nature and the lies and the deceit that's kept me from being a child of God, a man or a woman of God today. And so right now, if that's you, just lift your hand up and say, today, I just want to surrender to God. I want to give my life to him right here, right now. Anyone, right there, right there. Come on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Real quickly, anyone else? Don't let this time slide away. How many of you would say today, I've done what that hand went up and done. I remember giving my life to Christ, but I got sharpened, but I never followed through. Or maybe I got sharpened and I got broke off because I got hurt. I didn't get my way. Something went wrong. In my school, in my marriage, in my life, at the church, whatever. I got a hurt, and I'm hanging on to it instead of letting the hurt be chafed off through the grinding process. And how many would say today, I need to be resharpened today. I need some sharpening in my life. I need some sharpening in my marriage. I need some sharpening in my parents. I need some sharpening as being a teenager. I need some sharpening as being a man of God, a woman of God. I just need a little sharpening today, God.
Yes.
And I also want you to take over the pencil and start writing my story. I'm tired of trying to write it myself, Lord. And so, Lord, I want to just rededicate my life to you and to go through the sharpening process today, God. In the third category, how many say today, I've been through sharpenings. I've been through life. And it's been tough, but I'm still functional. But I want to finish strong. Come on, I want to finish strong. I don't want to have anything left. If that's you, raise your hand. Father, everyone in here has had a chance to say something to you today about their life. And I know you're going to honor what they told you, God. If they told you no, you're going to honor no. But if they said yes, you're going to honor their yes to being saved, like the one here, to maybe going through the sharpener the first time, like some raised their hands. And for others that said, I need my neck sharpening, and the others that said, I want a sharp, strong finish. Lord, you're going to honor what we ask you for today, God. And that's why it says, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. Come on, we're going to pray a salvation prayer together with our new person in Christ. Hallelujah. Let's all say this with her. Father, thank you. Here I am. Take my whole life. Put me in the sharpener. I'm ready. I'm ready to be something I've never been before. A full child of God, full of potential that is now being ready to be released. I believe by the confession of my mouth, coming out of my heart, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's alive. He died for me. He went to hell for me. He took the keys to hell for me. He came back to earth. He ascended to heaven. And he sits at my Father's right hand now. And today, I receive him. On asking of my sins be forgiven, I repent from them in Jesus' name. Take them away, Jesus, as only you can. Today, my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Today, I am a child of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, come on, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give him praise in this house. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. Don't get a familiar spirit with this. You need to go out of here saying, man, another one got today. The topic of your day ought to be the salvation in this house. The baptisms in this house. Amen.
Thank you for watching or listening to the Journey Church Message Replay. Be sure to hit the like and share buttons below to help us spread this message. We would love to connect with you. Leave us a comment, or for more in-depth conversations about what you just heard, you can contact us by clicking the email link in the notes below. And be sure to check us out online and on social media just by searching Journey Church Eva. Now that you have been empowered by God's Word, go make a difference in your world today.